We are so thankful that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Today, it's just Tara and me. Our peeps are all missing. You know, they're on vacation and they're doing camps and all kinds of fun things for them and where God wants them. So we will be doing this together.
I know. And we're both terrified. Can we do this without them adding in all the wisdom of youth? Like, I don't know. It's just going to seem weird without a student here.
I just love having them here because I just sit there and stare at them a lot of the times about what great wisdom comes out of these young children. And I didn't have the Lord God, my Savior, in my heart until I was older.
Yeah.
And so I actually just a little bit envious of them that they've started so young.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I know for myself, I came to know Christ in my young teens, but it was college where I finally sold out. Mm. So where they're extremely mature spiritually, I was an infant at that point, starting to grow. And so
it's beautiful.
God is so
good. Miss you, kids, if you're going to be listening to this.
If you're going to go listen and say, hey, we weren't on that segment. Maybe you won't listen. I don't know.
Maybe not.
You might not want to. I don't know.
It'll be great.
We're so good and so blessed. Okay, so we've been going through and doing and studying the meta-narrative that I use for my course that I teach on the introduction to orality. And within the course, we do a few stories in the Old Testament and a few stories in the New Testament to keep it within 12 stories. But as I was preparing for the radio this time, I contacted Sandy and I said, Sandy, I want to add in Jesus's baptism. The reason is we normally start with just his birth and then boom, we shoot to the transfiguration. And I just kind of give a summary because we want to get to the resurrection and we really spend a lot of time on the different stories at that point in his ascension. And but I wanted to add his baptism in because I have the freedom of not being locked into a semester with us being on the radio. And the baptism is the beginning of Jesus's ministry. Mm. And so we want to join him in that, because we want to see what God has. And as Sandy was saying in between the radio show, the actual voice of God speaks in this, and he has something to say to us. And so we want to make sure that we hear him. And when he has his voice, and he twice in the New Testament uses the voice to speak. Are you okay?
I'm trying to find the mouse right here so we can turn it off when we're done. But
it's okay. It's missing. We'll get it.
Missing in it. Oh, I found it. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
There you go. She's looking at. She's trying to figure out the screen. I'm like, wait, something's wrong. I don't want to keep talking if it's going to be messed up.
Just me.
And so we want to hear the voice of God, and twice in the New Testament it is used. And so this month we will look at it in the baptism. Next month, we will look at it in the transfiguration. And so that's kind of exciting. But for today, we're going to be doing different passages that in the Gospels and how they speak about Jesus' baptism. So right now, if you would look at Luke with me, and I'm going to be doing a little bit from each of the Gospels and sharing what they have on the baptism. And so Jesus' baptism, It's in Luke 3:21 through, and we will not do where he gives the listings of Jesus's genealogy. So we'll end at verse 22. And then it's also in Mark 1:9-13 and Matthew 3:13-17. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be actually reading what would be a summary story from these three Gospels, where I have combined them together.
So I don't need to get this ready to read.
No.
All right.
No, because I'm actually going to read what I have crafted as a story summary. So it's not an actual direct reading from Scripture. It's me taking chronologically and putting them together so that we get the full measure of the baptism of all of them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so this is what the Bible tells us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the baptism of Jesus. It's a story chronological summary. So one day, as John was preaching, he looked up and he saw Jesus walking up to him. See, Jesus had traveled all the way from Galilee in order to have John baptize him. And John tried to deter Jesus, and he said, I need to be baptized by you. Why is it that you are coming to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do it now in order to fulfill righteousness. So John consented. And as John was baptizing Jesus, Jesus prayed. And as Jesus came up out of the water, heaven opened up, and John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus as a dove. And at that very moment, the voice of heaven called out and said, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Now Jesus at this time was 30 years of age, and almost immediately the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into the desert. And after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan, and Jesus countered every temptation that Satan put before him with the word of God. And the devil left Jesus for more opportune times, and the angels attended to him. And at this point, Jesus in obedience began his ministry. May God honor the telling of his word. Now, as a reminder, that's a summary of Matthew, right. Mark, and Luke.
And as you were doing that, it came to mind, if you haven't ever heard of orality, that's what Tara just did.
Yeah.
Kind of storytelling the Bible.
Right, exactly. And so this one is one of those that the way the baptism is told, because each one gives different pieces, mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that we could see each of them and the content of what they had as we go through and we analyze the story. We'll also be examining, as we go through, some things that we'll learn about John the Baptist in earlier parts of those chapters before they actually get to the baptism. And so this is so beautiful, like the baptism, watching and seeing the work of how God used his son to go and be obedient. And what we want to have in our mind is Jesus made it very clear it was to fulfill righteousness now. His baptism fulfilled righteousness. And so I want us to be thinking about how obedience fulfills righteousness, and in this case with the baptism. And so some background things that we should know. One is that John the Baptist was, or let's start with John. John who wrote, or Luke, let's go with Luke. I'll focus on Luke because Luke is the one that I think we'll take most of the content from. Luke is teaching about what had happened in the political arena in the beginning of John, Luke 3. And so at the beginning of Luke 3, he talks about the political setting. And the political setting at this time, it's in the 15th year of Tiberius. And what we have to know and understand is that he was cruel. Tiberius was a very, very cruel man. Not only was Tiberius cruel, Pontius Pilate was the other person that was in position at that time. And he wasn't just cruel, he was brutal. And he was known for brutally massacring Christians. And he was extremely insensitive to the Jews and to those that believed in Jesus at the time. And so we have to understand this is the setting. The other thing I want us to understand is we have had 400 years of complete silence. Mm-hmm. For 400 years, they have not heard a prophet of God speak. And this is 30 years into the breaking of the silence, because when the angels made the announcement that Jesus would be born, that was the beginning of the message being proclaimed again, and silence was broken from heaven. And John the Baptist, at 30 years past the 400 years of silence, he's out in the desert, totally dressed crazy in camel clothes, and he's eating locusts and honey. And what we have to understand is, by our standards today, he'd be considered weird.
Mm-hmm.
If he was here proclaiming the gospel message, he's not somebody that we would say, oh, wow, you know, he's so clean cut and, you know, and he just is matching my cultural need and I'm going to go to him. He was the antithesis of what anybody anticipated.
And that's exactly what God does. He uses people that we would not imagine that he would use. And it's all through the Bible that way.
I know. Like,
and I love that.
Me and you.
Yes. I was thinking that. Yes.
Me too. And so here we have John the Baptist, and we have to understand he's the one that's been appointed.
Mm-hmm.
At his birth, his dad was told by an angel that he would be the one that would be sent to be the forerunner and to prepare the way. And specifically, John was the person that would identify who Christ is. He's the one that does the baptism, and he's the one that gets people ready by talking about repentance. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at repentance more in a little bit and go more in depth on another radio show with that one. The other thing we have to understand is that the religious leaders at the time, oh my goodness, so those were the political ones, Tiberius and Pontius Pilate, but Caiaphas and Annas were the two religious guys, and they were the priests. They were the ones that were supposed to be teaching the people what God has for his people, and they're not doing it. In fact, they're corrupt. And so we have a political system that's corrupt. We have a religious system that has become political and is corrupt. And so we have tremendous issues with the political and power going on, where everybody is struggling to have somebody focus in on them. And then we have this crazy man out in the desert in camel clothes and eating locusts and honey, and people are going out to him because it's so unique in what he's doing that they're tired of the political system and the religious system, that they're willing to go out to this crazy guy in the desert who is preparing the way for the risen Lord. And while he's out there doing that, that's when Jesus goes to him in order to be baptized. And so we have to understand that's huge in this big, big passage of scripture of why. Now, as Jesus is going out, one of the questions that I asked when I studied this originally was, why did John the Baptist baptize? Why do you think John the Baptist was baptizing? I mean, what was he doing? I mean, he goes out there and he shouts out at them and he's like, you brood of vipers, mm-hmm. you know, who told you about mm-hmm. the coming wrath to come? You must repent.
Right, it's all about repentance.
And be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's preparing the way for the Lord to bring salvation.
Yeah.
Just getting them ready.
Yeah.
For the word.
Completely. He is actually fulfilling what Isaiah, if you mm-hmm. wouldn't mind, Sandy, opening up Isaiah 40. Let's look at verses 3-5. And if you could read those, and they actually tell us, you know, a prophecy of pointing to him, of him coming and making people aware.
Okay.
So Isaiah 40, verses 3-5.
A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
That's so amazing. Mm. Okay, now what we have to understand, all of those things that are listed out, so they're all beyond man's capability of making happen.
Mm.
Man cannot do any of those. He cannot, you know, change mountains, you know, or all the things that were listed out. We can't do any of those. So when it says every valley filled with and every mountain and hill brought low, crooked places brought straight, that's the physical makeup of our earth. Now, granted, we can dig landfills or something to that nature,
mm-hmm.
but only God, through his ability, because he's creator, can do those things
mm-hmm.
To that level. And what he is pointing out, Isaiah is letting us know, is that the one who's preparing the way is showing us the one that can make crooked straight.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fill the dark places. And he's the one that makes the highest heights. And so he's wanting people to get ready for the salvation that comes through repentance. And the difficulty of that is in general, we don't like repenting.
Nope.
So I was talking with some of my girls the other night, and we were talking because we were reading through Galatians. And in that passage, it actually, in Galatians 1, Paul talks about that those who do not follow after the gospel are cursed. Mm. And so the question was, is he cursing them? And I said, well, and then he says, and God curses them. And I'm like, okay, let's think on this. So for example, I'm like, what if I were to lie to Greg? And I'm like, okay, I have. I don't recall the last time I have, but I have. And what happens is that when I have lied to my husband, I immediately have a mind barrier between us. And I know in my heart I've sinned against my husband. And all of a sudden I begin to mentally struggle. And then it's harder for me to rightly relate. And then I find myself irritable. And then I find myself not willing to interact with him the way I should. And what I find is that by not honoring what I know in the gospel, I'm actually walking out of the blessing. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about.
Right. And, when we do repent, I remember years ago repenting, and the scripture that got me was I was sinning against God.
Right.
Even though I sinned against somebody else or whatever, that hurt. I mean, I read that and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and to recognize that what we do to the least of these, mm-hmm. we do to him.
Right.
And that the curse of not walking in righteousness is that we walk out of the blessing. Mm-hmm. And so the goal here of John the Baptist is to get the people to repent,
mm-hmm.
so that they can know what it is to walk in the freedom of not having their mind and their heart moved by that which grieves God, and have it moved by that which blesses God.
Mm-hmm.
And in that comes a blessing for them and for those around them. And that's what he's trying to get them to do. And so when you guys come back next time, what we're going to talk about is what is the baptism of repentance that he talked about? How is that different than what Jesus provides for us in baptism? Because there is a difference. They're mm-hmm. not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because John was preparing the way for Jesus's baptism, and it's different. And so you need to come back. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We thank God for you. God bless.